worshiping, that means stand and keep worshiping. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 46. And then also open them to James 4. I'm grateful for the presence of God that we feel here tonight. Amen. I thought we were just going to keep worshiping and the Holy Ghost was going to take over, and that would have been just fine. So if at any time you feel like you want to worship, just hoot and holler and jump around or whatever you need to do. I heard one person say amen, two people. Praise God. Let's get all Pentecostal up in here, huh? Praise God. Usually I'm so nervous, I don't know what to do. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. I don't think God's suffering from an identity crisis, do you? He knows who he is. James 4, 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Everyone say, if the Lord will. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Praise God. Holy Jesus, great God of heaven and earth, we ask, O God, for your continued blessing in this place. Help me, O God, to communicate effectively the word of God. Help me, O God, to minister, Lord, to the needs that are present here. Help each one of us to receive the word of God that you bring to us. Move here by the Holy Ghost and have your way in every heart and every mind, that we may give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The domino effect. Title of that video is Domino Chain 43. In a physical sense, it is the chain reaction of a number of pieces being directly affected by the tipping and falling of another piece. You can go online and you can find all kinds of those domino setups, just thousands of them, literally thousands of dominoes in a particular setup, sometimes stacked 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and the whole structure falls down and hits the next line. One of my favorites was two young women who had things lined up all through their house, through the living room, the bedroom, up the steps, into another room, back downstairs, until it went all the way up to the top floor, and it hit something that flipped a golf ball off the balcony into the street and almost hit a guy in the head. Amen. Everyone say domino effect. I couldn't play that video because the music wasn't real good. We couldn't have that in church. So the relational and social and spiritual application of the domino effect is that our actions and our behaviors have consequences. Isaac Newton's third law of motion says that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Sometimes we convince ourselves that our decisions or our behaviors aren't affecting others, that somehow we can operate in a vacuum. Or we may not even care how our choices are affecting others, but the things we do, the things we say, the way we live, they all have an impact on the world around us and especially on the people around us. And they certainly have an impact on our own lives. Wouldn't you like to go back in time and just stop a couple of those dominoes that have fallen in the course of your life? If you were to go onto YouTube and look at all the various domino chains and the mousetrap setups that are there, anybody know who Rube Goldberg is? Rube Goldberg used to have these illustrations of these really crazy, wild contraptions that were all set in motion by one little thing. And they were cartoons, actually. And if you followed them with your eye, by the time you were done, you were laughing because of the funny things that would have happened if they were real. You realize that all of these contraptions have something in common. All of the domino chains, all of the mouse traps, all of the Rube Goldberg constructions, they have a couple of things in common. Well, they probably have many things in common, but there are several that come to mind. For example, each of them was carefully constructed by somebody. Somebody had to plan them, had to have them in their minds and take the time and put them together. Secondly, they had in their mind how it was going to be at the end. They had a start and an end, and they figured out what they wanted to do to get to where they ended up, like the golf ball flying off the balcony. That was totally unexpected. When I watched that one, that was kind of funny, and it was really unexpected by the guy that almost got hit in the head. How many of you ever played the game Mousetrap? You play the whole game, and the object of the game is to get a part and put it together, and you put this contraption together, and it ends up having a marble on it, and the marble rolls through and trips all kinds of triggers, and at the end of it all, there's a basket that's hanging, and it drops on the a little plastic mouse on the board, and when that does that, everyone is supposed to say, "Oh, you didn't say it like that." Everybody said, "Yeah, there you go, all right." Mousetrap. Eventually, you just didn't play the game. You just put the thing together so you could make the contraption work and catch the mouse. But all of those things only illustrate the limitations of our human perspectives. See, we fool ourselves into thinking that in our lives we have the capacity, that we have the ability to construct some kind of contraption that, like a line of dominoes, is going to fall just the way we think it's going to fall. And we have an end in mind, and we think at the end of all of the things that we have put together that somehow we're going to catch that mouse. If only life were just like dominoes and you could pick all the pieces and put them in order. But we're only human. And we don't have control of all the circumstances of our life. And we only have as much control as the decision we make this moment. Sometimes you're putting the mousetrap game together, or you're setting up the dominoes, and somebody comes into the room and bumps the table, and everything tips over and falls down. You have to start all over again, or the cat walks into the room and bumps it, and your little brother crawls into the room and eats a domino. We don't have control over all of the circumstances of life. The domino effect is nice when you are in control, but we just aren't in control as much as we like to think we are. It works for us as long as we're in control of all the variables. James says that we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't even know what will happen the rest of tonight. Isaiah says God knows the end from the beginning, but he is the only one who knows the end from the beginning. He gives us glimpses through his word and by his Holy Spirit. And the moment we make a decision, he knows the result of it. But we don't. Sometimes we take this sense of control for granted and we think that our behaviors, we can control its effect on other people. Or we imagine that if I do this thing, if nobody knows about it, it won't affect anyone. That if nobody knows I'm doing it, it's not wrong. Or even if it is wrong, if nobody knows about it, I can get away with it. Nobody's looking. The domino effect. God not only knows the end from the beginning, but he has already been there, and he has determined what it will be. That's hard for us to comprehend, because dominoes is actually, however you stack them or line them up or whatever, it's a linear thing. But God isn't limited to linear trains of thought. God isn't defined by our time and space. He's beyond all of that. He's at the end when the beginning starts. Maybe a better illustration of human effort and its outcome is an illustration of the ripple effect. Now, everybody's heard of the ripple effect. Pebble goes in the water and you see those ripples continually going further and further and further out. And in our minds, you know, it's an infinite thing. Again, our actions and our attitudes, our words, our relationships do have an effect on the world around us. But not only do we not have control of their impact, but their effect travels in every direction. It's not just one line of dominoes that we set in motion when we make a decision to do good or to do bad, to do right or to do wrong, to hide or to be open. But it travels in all directions, in every area of our life. Just as we saw in that video, it affects different things differently. If you remember, it was such a short picture, but there was algae on part of the surface of the water, and there was a tree over here, and on one side the shoreline was closer than the other, and so those ripples reached different parts of the shore sooner than they did others, and that algae was affected, though minimal was the ripple that hit them. If enough of those little ripples hit those algae, eventually they're going to be pushed to the shore, and it's going to have an effect on the status and the character of that pond, that little area. Everything has an effect. When the pebble breaks the surface of the water, there's a surface tension on the very top of the water created by the chemistry of the water itself. And when the pebble hits that surface, it breaks that surface tension, and energy, the kinetic energy from that stone hits that water, and it's transferred, some of that energy is transferred to the surface of the water, and it travels across in waves. But those wavelets affect everything they touch. Sometimes we don't even recognize the effect that we're having on people. Just little ripples. You have enough of those ripples, and it's going to make a big difference. In addition to the pebble affecting the surface of the water and creating a wave on top, it's affecting that water all the way down to the bottom. We can't see it. We don't recognize it. But there's molecules of water and being displaced all the way down. And when it gets to the bottom, it affects the bottom of that pond as well. Physically, at best, when I'm standing here, at best, an individual has a range of vision 180 degrees. At best, most of us, our peripheral vision isn't that good. But for some of us, it is. 180 degrees, which means unless you're a mother or a talented teacher, you can't see behind you. That's a limitation that we all have. It's a human limitation. We often don't even think of it because we're so visually oriented. But in fact, there's so much going on behind us that we don't know anything about. How much more are we limited in our ability to perceive the emotional, the spiritual, the psychological impact of our behavior and our actions on other people? We're just limited. We have no concept. Only God can tell what impact I had today on the people I talked to. Only God knows what happened in the hearts of those people that you ministered to or didn't minister to today as you passed them in your daily routine. Only God can tell what impact we will have tomorrow or the day after with the people that we do business with. How did you impact your children today? What kind of witness to Jesus Christ did we leave with the souls that we met? Did we make waves or ripples? Did we erode the shoreline of someone's spirit? Was our effect positive or negative? That tiny corner of the world, that picture of that pond with that stone being dropped in it, the change was minimal. We can't even recognize. But there was a change there in that little corner of the world when that pebble hit the pond. And everywhere you went today, everywhere I went today, every person we talked to, we changed somebody somehow. What unseen but deeply stirring word did we leave with a hungry heart? God, help us never to forget the impact. Help us never to forget the impression, the impetus that we bring to the lives of those around us. If we were to have held that camera there long enough and watched that pond long enough, eventually those ripples in that pond would subside because the energy from that action would eventually dissipate. I'm beginning to realize that in the life of an individual, your energy begins to dissipate. You only get so much time, so much energy, so much strength to be effective in this world. We all have 24 hours in a day. How will you spend the energy? How will you spend the strength? How will you share the knowledge? How will you minister the love of God that He has given you in the time that He has provided? Because eventually the pond of our lives is going to subside. There'll be no more ripples. There'll be no more opportunity to make an impact. That tiny corner of the world was changed, little or much, for better or for worse, depending on the impact of that stone, how big it was, how hard it was thrown. How will we leave the world that we impact? How many will be changed by my witness, by your witness? How many will be blessed? How many will be healed? How many will be saved when at last we come to rest? And our opportunity to make changes has passed. No more chances to make changes in our own lives. Isn't that funny? We always think we have a little more time to make the changes we need to make. Oh, praise God. I always think that there's another chance. We always think that we're going to have another opportunity to witness to that person at work or to talk to that person at the gas station, and we may never have that chance. That ripple may have passed. But there's another effect, a greater effect, that may help us understand God's will and His desire and purpose for our life. There's an idea in mathematics and science referred to as chaos theory. I don't pretend to understand it or all of its meaning or its applications, but there's one idea that most of us are familiar with that we've heard of, and it's called the butterfly effect. Anybody ever hear the butterfly effect? I'm not talking about the movie either. So let's see the butterfly effect. Actually, you just can see the butterfly, not the effect. It's in slow motion, by the way. Or else he was drinking Mountain Dew, one or the other. The butterfly effect says that just by the flapping of its wings, that butterfly affects the world around it. That feathery touch upon the air moves enough air to affect the things around it. And little by little, that effect gains momentum. Part of chaos theory implies that the effect of this flapping of wings in one area of the world can affect major events very far away. And this is what Wikipedia says. And we all know Wikipedia is always right. So sensitivity to and this is what it says. Catch this first line. Sensitivity to initial conditions. Everyone say initial conditions. Sensitivity to initial conditions is popularly known as the butterfly effect. So called because of the title of a paper given by Edward Lorenz in 1972 to the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Washington, D.C. He entitled his paper, Predictability, and actually someone else gave it this title, Does the Flap of a Butterfly's Wings in Brazil Set Off a Tornado in Texas? The flapping wing represents a small change in the initial condition. Everyone say initial condition. The flapping wing represents a small change in the initial condition of the system, which causes a chain of events leading to large-scale phenomena. Had the butterfly not flapped its wings, the trajectory of the system might have been vastly different. Amen. We think we can move around like butterflies, not float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. That's something else. I know somebody was thinking of that. Our actions do reach much further than what we comprehend. And like the ripple effect, the butterfly effect speaks of a very minimal initial action that creates a great response. Only now we're talking on a much larger scale than the ripple effect. We're talking about an effect that is a chain reaction that goes far beyond our comprehension or understanding. And that it's multiplied in its impact. I said it's multiplied in its impact. It's just changed one tiny thing in the initial condition. And the end result is changed drastically. It's like when Glenn Rossing is aiming his bow, and about 3 feet away from his bow, the arrow hits a twig. And instead of missing the deer by 1 foot, he misses it by 3 feet. I just thought of that, brother. I didn't have that in my notes. So, our choices and actions not only affect those that are near and dear to us, they not only affect the here and the now, but they go far beyond what we can begin to imagine. The Bible says that we are body, soul, and spirit. As Brother Grant likes to say, that means we're two-thirds spiritual. Not only is there an impact on the surface of the waters of our life, but there's a spiritual effect in everything we do. An eternal impact associated with the choices and the decisions we make. Not only do we affect our own spirituality and our own eternity, but we affect the spirituality and the eternity of others. The butterfly effect is a minimal initial action, but it has tremendous ultimate response. How we respond here and now, how we affect the initial condition of our situation in this moment may affect the storms in someone else's life that we are not even aware of. Whether you do or you don't pray a particular prayer at a particular time and place may, in fact, make the difference in someone being saved or not saved. It may make the difference in a missionary a long way off that you will never meet till you get to heaven. And in their life, it will make a huge difference because the initial condition here where you were was what it ought to have been, what God called on us to do. It may impact someone's opportunity to spend time with God forever in eternity. The choices we have made in life have brought us to this night and this place. This information age, this communication media that we have has made it so easy to reconnect with people. Amen? Anybody here in the last 2 years reconnected with somebody that you hadn't talked to for, say, 15 or 20 years? Yeah. But along with that, there's a lot of friends from my high school years. I went to my class reunion mainly because of Facebook connections this past year. But it brought back to my memory a lot of really stupid choices I made. And I think about a lot of really bad decisions and bad relationships and dumb things that I did. And I sometimes wish that, you know, somehow I could change those and go back and undo those. But the fact is, it's too late for that. Those initial conditions have long passed, and the trajectory of my life has already been determined. Many of those decisions brought me to the place where I was ready to pour out my life to God because I knew how much I needed Him. Who knows what would happen if I could go back and change them? But I still have a chance today. I have a chance right now to deal with the initial condition of this moment, of this time, and this place. I'm sure that while I've been speaking here tonight, that there are many here who have examined their own decisions. And as I talked about the effect of your decisions upon family members, maybe upon your own condition, your own spiritual condition, and you thought of things that you wish you could go back and do over again or do differently. Move that domino. Set that trap differently. Avoid the mouse trap somehow. For many of us, the troubling thing is that we have already set the painful dominoes in motion. We're here in this place tonight full of regrets. Maybe even carrying in our hearts or our minds guilt or shame for a decision we made today. And unless we do something about that initial condition, unless we do something to change the course of events, we'll go far off in another direction. Our choices may have been wrong, and now we're the ones in the mousetrap. Or worse yet, we've made decisions that have trapped others. My son's here tonight, but I think of this all the time. I think about the things I could have done differently when I was raising my children. If I had done this, would things worked out better this way? Or if I hadn't done this. I know, I'm the only, Scott and I are the only two that think that way, but too many of us have already muddied the water so much and polluted too many of the ponds in our lives. But the truth is that none of us has any way of knowing all of the effects of all of the choices that we've made. And sadly, for too many of us, our spiritual lives are already a storm. Paul said it like this in Romans 7, verse 14. And I'm reading from a little different version. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I do not. That which I do, I know not. For what I desire, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent to the law that it is good. But now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me. That's why I wanted you to remember that phrase, initial condition. We have each one of us in us an initial condition. It's called human nature. It's called the flesh. It's our tendency towards sin. This is the sin effect. And the Bible says it's at work in every one of us. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul in Romans 7:24 says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This initial condition, this human nature, this sinful tendency. How do I stop the butterfly effect? How can I stop the dominoes from falling? How do we catch up to the ripples that have already begun on the pond of our life? How do we stop the processes that we've begun by the choices we made? How can we stand the dominoes upright again? Let's stand. The domino effect displays our limitations, shows our self-will and self-righteousness. The ripple effect shows our inability to perceive the reality of our situation. The butterfly effect just reveals to us the enormity of the spiritual choices we make in our life. And the sin effect shows our inability to have control over the circumstances of life. But I'm glad to share with you this evening one more effect. It's called the Jesus effect. I said it's called the Jesus effect. In Romans 7:24, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul then goes on to answer his own question in Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore, everyone say therefore, even though we have this initial condition, there is therefore now Now, everyone say now. We can change the effect of the initial condition right now. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Whatever decision you're struggling with, whatever failure you brought here tonight, whatever fear or doubt or unbelief, you can take that initial condition and you can submit it to the name of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of Jesus Christ has set me free from the initial condition of my sinful nature. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm glad for the Jesus effect. I'm not limited to my initial condition, and I don't have to follow the domino effect, because Jesus Christ has set me free from sin and death. Was not bound by time and place. He dwelt in eternity in heaven, and He reached down into our reality and went to a hill called Calvary, where He suffered and died for my sins and for your sins. And from that hill of pain and sacrifice, He was able to reach across the ripples of time and the storms of life. And by His grace and by His love, He can give each one of us here tonight a brand new start before we leave this place. He is here to calm your storms. He is here to bring peace to the surface of your life and the depths of your soul. Because He is the first, He is the last, He is the beginning, He is the end. He is already in eternity, and He's waiting to welcome you home. Come and meet with Jesus. Let Him change your life tonight. Let's pray. This is my day.